Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Let's take a moment and share our scriptures together. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15. Let each carpenter who comes on the job take care to build on the foundation. Remember, there's only one foundation, the one already laid, Jesus Christ. Take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there's going to be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get by with a thing. If your work passes inspection, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building will be torn out and started over. But you won't be torn out. You'll survive, but just barely. Wow. We want to survive, but not. We want to thrive. Amen? So our scriptures are about a carpenter. And that carpenter is you. Yeah? How many of you have had some experience with a carpenter somewhere? A fundi. Si unajua fundi. Fundis in Kenya. Where do they come from? Do you know they are all reading from the same script? You know what I'm talking about. They started a job at your house, then they disappeared for 5 days to 2 weeks. Then they showed up later. That carpenter, let each carpenter who comes on the job take care to build on the foundation. Remember, there's only one foundation. So this carpenter is now not that carpenter. This carpenter is you. What kind of fundi are you? How are you building? How frustrated is the person you're building with and building for? How happy are they? Is your work going to pass inspection? It's not a light matter, yeah? Pastor Don has been teaching us so much from his life. And like I've already said, I've received so much. Yeah? How many can testify? Wow. Amazing what we have received from his life. And I'm just here to tell you that everything Pastor has been sharing, I'm an eyewitness that is so true about him and Miss Amy and their lives. You know, and as far as we are concerned, we are not God, but as far as we are concerned, they pass inspection. It's so awesome, you know? The main reason we need to be so careful how we are building is because one day, the life I am building, the life you're building, is going to be inspected. Everything from our marriages, my marriage, my family, my ministry, my personal life, my friendships, they will all come under inspection. And the word says that on that day, even the secret things will be brought to light. What a sobering thing. The things you do, chinia, the things you're doing in secret, that day they will be brought to light. This is true for everyone, not just the ones on the pulpit, not just the cell leaders. How do you mafundi, the carpenters? No, it's true for everyone. If we are building to look good, it's going to be brought to light. If you're building to fit in, it's going to be brought to light. If you're just building to make an impression, it's going to be brought to light. That day, that fire will expose it. Is my building a truly, truly a quality building? We need to build today with that great day in mind. Are you building lives that will pass inspection? You know, in our building, every choice matters. When you're building, every choice matters. Have you ever left the carpenter for 10 minutes doing something in your house? Okay, let's say an hour. You thought, you know, things are clear what you're doing. When you come back, the two choices that he made without consulting you mattered. It looks like I'm only talking to 5 people here. I'm telling you. And you're like, okay, now how are we going to unbuild all this because we have to remove everything and start over? You should have checked with me. It wasn't your choice. It's my Choice. The choice matters. It's not a small thing when you're building. Every choice matters. And it will be inspected. Pastor shared two materials to build with that will pass inspection. Those two materials that he shared were, can you tell me what they are? The two things are what? Integrity and rhythm. Powerful things, powerful materials. Today, I want to share another material that will help us to last. Yeah? I've been saved for close to 40 years. And I have served here at Nairobi Lighthouse Church for 30 years or so. Yeah? And it's been awesome. It's been marvelous being saved and serving in Nairobi Lighthouse Church. Vic and I have been married for 13 awesome years. Wonderful years. We are happily married, in case you are wondering. And we are building this to last. Yeah? And we've been raising our children, Kanana and Muthoni, gorgeous girls for the last 12 years. Kanana just turned 12, yeah? God has so blessed our lives. And we just want to be able to share one thing that I can tell you has been a key part of building our lives to last. And this thing is the building material we are talking on today, and that's contentment. Contentment. Let me just say that though it's not been as long a journey as Pastor and Miss Amy's journey, I have still seen a lot of seasons, a lot of time, and a lot of changes. And I can tell you that contentment is a key building material if you want to build to last. Contentment. Are you comfortable with the word contentment? Maybe, maybe not. Contentment. Makena, do you know what my life is like? I can't be content. I have to pursue. Do you know what's stirring up inside me? Contentment is not maybe the message I came to hear today. But hey, it's the message you need to hear today. Contentment is described as a state of peaceful happiness. I know this is not a really good example. But when you say peaceful happiness, I think of our cat. Our cat is called Rosie. We wouldn't go there. But cats are just happy. They're just content. It's like nothing moves them. They're sitting there on your chair happy like it belongs to them. They are content, you know? Contentment is that state of peaceful happiness. You're not worried or anxious about who you are, what you have or what you don't have, or your condition in life. You are content. Contentment is a quiet, unanxious assurance that God knows and is keeping all that you need in sight. God knows. He's keeping it all in sight. And so I'm not worried and I'm not anxious about it. We live in a world that is constantly bombarding us with a message that we don't have enough. You know, you don't have enough. I'm sure if I tell you you don't have enough, all of you will agree. I don't. Can I just speak the truth here? Because there's more we want. The world tells us you need more. We are not where we should be. We should do more. We should have more. We should be more, you know? People will tell you at this age or by this age, you should have a what? Fill in the blank for yourself. By this age, you should have a? A husband. You should have a wife. You should have a car. You should have a house. You should have a plot in Malindi. You should have a business. You should have a? You should. You know, they tell you, they look at you, it's like, now you, the way you are so smart, why are you not top 30 under 30? Let me ask you, how many people can be top 30 under 30? And how many are we here? I rest my case. Only so many people can be top 30 under. But we are told you must do, you must strive to be like this. How about this? Trust more. Trust more. Worry less. You know, researchers claim that the average adult who owns a phone is exposed to anywhere from 100 to 1,000 advertisements a day. 1,000 times you are being told you need this, you should have this, you can have this. This includes TV, billboards, yeah, posters, radio, and social media. All these are bombarding us with messages of what we should have. You know, today just coming from home to church, I have been shown the clothes I should wear. I look at them and I'm like, okay, is that the future or now? The clothes on that billboard. I have been shown what I should eat. I have been shown the furniture that I should have. I have even been told about a plot to buy. Just the ride from home to church. It's like you can't even come to church in peace. You have to think about all that you must have and own and be before you get to church. You get here exhausted, anxious, worried that you're not where you should be. It's hard to stay content with what we do have when we are repeatedly being told we don't have enough or being shown what else we need to be happy. What else do you need to be happy? Philippians chapter 4 verse 11 to 12 says, not that I'm speaking of being in need. Not that I'm speaking of being in need. This is Paul talking. For I have learned in whatever situation I am in, to be content. I know how to be brought low. I like those words. I know how to. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to be bound. I've got this. I know this. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. One of our favorite scriptures. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But sometimes it's good to look at the context that scripture was written in. It was written in the context of what? Contentment. Paul learned contentment. Paul learned, I can do this. This is my status. This is where God has me. This is what God has given me. This is what is assigned me. These are my opportunities. I can handle this. I can go through this through Christ who strengthens me. Many times we are thinking, I can go get that plot through Christ who strengthens me. I can be among 100 and 100. So maybe you're not 30 under 40. Maybe you are reserved to be top 100 under 100. Think about that. You're a late bloomer. It's okay. It's okay. But that's not what Paul was talking about. He was talking about settling into what God has assigned you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. A very key part of what Paul says here is that contentment is learned. It's learned, yeah? He says, I know how to do this. He learned it. And how do we learn something? We learn something by doing it over and over until it becomes natural. And we learn it through tests. The test is put before us and we either pass or fail the test. So there may be a few failures in the process of learning contentment, but hey, you're learning. You know, the secret is learning it in Christ Jesus. If I must go through whatever God has assigned me, then I go through it knowing I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me tell you, I've learned that things will never make you content. They never will make you content. You can pursue them all you want. You can get them all you want. But you know what? They will never make you content. I've learned that our flesh will never be satisfied. How many other people have learned that with me? It's true. Your flesh your desire to make yourself happy with things and with stuff will never be satisfied. When we talk about contentment, we are most often talking about the realm of wants. I want this. I desire this. Not really our basic needs. What we have already may be truly sufficient, but we still want more. Let me ask you this question. When will it be enough? Just ask yourself that question. When will it ever be enough? Like, how many pairs of shoes are enough, ladies? How many pairs of shoes are enough? How many can you wear at a time? Yeah, Pastor Kev. How many shoes? One for every day of the year, he says. And to his credit, he gives away as many shoes as he has. How many pairs of shoes? How many accolades must you get for you to feel like sasa nimefika? Like, how many medals must you have? How big does your house need to be? Really, how big? Even your bed. How big does it need to be? I know we are in the realm of preferences and I'm stepping on your toes, but does it really have to be that big? We must learn to set limits in our lives. Set limits in our lives, or else we can easily keep falling prey to the incessant desire for more and more and more. More stuff will also add more pressure to your life. Every blessing carries with it responsibility. You know, you have to clean that house, dust every corner, organize, manage, declutter. Yeah, some of you, I'm feeling the pushback. It's like, me, I just want some stuff to declutter. I don't have enough. But I'm just telling you, really? This is the word. Contentment is not simply trimming down your desires. Contentment means living with a sense of God's adequacy. God is enough. Like, if it's all taken, guess what? God is enough. God is more than enough, more than adequate in my life. God's will is adequate. God's purpose is adequate. God's choices and direction and assignment are adequate in my life. And let me tell you, what God puts in your life, God preserves in your life, and God prospers in your life. So you can rest assured, be settled happily that God is in control. Amen? There are two keys for learning contentment. And the first one is this: silence comparison. Silence comparison. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, "Not that we have the audacity to venture to class or even to compare ourselves with some who exalt and furnish testimonials for themselves." You know what that means is that they know they have a good CV and they know how to pitch it. Paul found himself in that situation where there are people who know how to show how well they've done. And he's like, not that we want to class ourselves with those people who know how to do that. However, when they measure themselves with themselves and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding and behave unwisely. Stop constantly looking at who has more. Stop comparing. That constant looking at who has more, who got this and who got the other, will leave you unsatisfied and discontented. Envy is the enemy of contentment. Envy, you know? You've believed God for your car. You've brought it all the way to Japan, registered it. You're on the road now. You're driving happily. And then, passes over there an old classmate with a Lexus. Na yako ni hii nini? What is it? So, you know. Or maybe you have a Lexus. And then somebody passes with a what? A Porsche. Or is it a Porsche? Somebody passes, immediately discontent. Because envy will bring that. We can spend so much time scrolling and looking at what others have, where others went, what others are doing. And instead of rejoicing with them, we are reacting with jealousy. All these hours we spend on Instagram checking out other people's lives. All these hours, what are they producing inside you? A certain level of discontentment that my life is not good enough. And I tell you what, you don't know the full story. I mean, we are living in that world right now where you can see other people's lives or whatever part of people's lives they want to show us. The reality that they want to show us. But is it really the reality? But it's producing discontentment in you. Church, Pastor said it last Sunday, but I think it needs to be repeated. Maybe we just need to put that phone down for a while. Just put it down for a while. Live without it for some time. Allow the grace of God, the word of God, to feed your spirit one more time. Allow the words that you hear being preached to infiltrate your life and saturate you. And you will find yourself rising again into that place of joy and satisfaction and praises and thanksgiving. Amen? If your Pinterest boards no longer make you feel inspired and now just make you feel inadequate, maybe you should just put that phone down. I love Pinterest. And I love to go in there and look at all the things I can do to remodel our kitchen. It's like, make it like this, make it like that, and buy that cooker and that hood, you know? But after a while, my children know, you are on Pinterest again. But after a while, how does it leave me feeling? Inadequate. It leaves me feeling like this is so far. When will I get there? And just when I was drooling over this kitchen, the next page is showing us another whole new kitchen, and the old kitchen I was drooling over that I have not even remodeled yet is now old fashioned. As in this one I was dreaming of is now old news. We are now moving on to this kind. That's the life we live on. You know, you've just finished building your house. You got a cologne. You built a flat roof with this balcony. You even have a mini pool, yeah? Then somebody buys a plot next door, and now pitched roofs are in, you know? And your house is beginning to look old and dated, huh? It will never be enough. You know, when I finished, I think it was a time when we were finishing the first degree and aiming for higher things. A friend of mine, a really close girlfriend of mine, we had three words, were our mantra. Masters, ministry, and marriage. We should have added their money. Maybe we'd have sounded more ambitious. But we were deep, you know? Masters, we wanted a master's, we wanted ministry, and we wanted marriage. You know, so my friend, how she did, she got married, and she and her husband were in ministry. Yay! She didn't get a master's. And me, I got a master's, and I was in ministry. But now here I am waiting for marriage. It's not coming. 2 years, not coming. 3 years, not coming. You know, after some time, you begin to ask, why, Lord? Because things are supposed to go in this way. You're supposed to get your master's, your ministry, and your marriage. And of course, marriage is supposed to come with money and a car and a house. I'm just telling you how people think, isn't it? And expectations are there. And you watch your peers and your friends get married. You watch them get their cars and their houses, and you watch them get children, and their life just seems to be all together the way it's supposed to be in the book, in the rule book. Whose book, my people? You know, whose book says that it's gonna be like that? Can I just tell you guys, I remember one day, I even can tell you the spot where I felt God say to me, marriage is not your destiny. I know some of you are in shock hearing this. And I am married. But what God was saying is that you are not called to be married. Your purpose in life is not to be married. Marriage is a part of what brings about God's purpose to your life. Because back in the day, it's like, who is God's will for your life? It has to be a person. But God's will is bigger than a person. God's will is bigger than a position. It's bigger than a season in life. It's God's purpose for your life. And I had my moments of discontent because I was comparing my life with those people. And that clique, and back in my day, there was a tendency for the people who are checking all the boxes to also be together in cliques. So you feel sort of like an outsider. And it feels like my life is not going exactly the way it's going. But I can tell you today with the benefit of hindsight, yeah, in retrospect, that I see clearly what God was doing in my life. And that God had me exactly where he wanted me to be, doing exactly what he wanted me to be, to do. You know, when I finally met my awesome husband, Victor, can we have a clap for him? When I finally met Victor, or let's say when we finally got married, because we met years before and then, you know, started courting, long story. But anyway, when we finally did, I looked and we started having our beautiful children. I was able to look back and see, do you know, if this had happened to me 15 years before when I had hoped, or whatever, how many years when I'd really wished and cried and sought that it happens, that there are so many things that God did with my life that would never have happened. In that period of waiting, in that period of choosing contentment, choosing to work with what God has given me, God helped us by his grace and as a team to write more than 600 lessons for children. That was when we counted in 2011. More than that, because those are the complete nice lessons that we counted, and put together like 4 years of series so that we can teach in kids' house lessons every Sunday for 4 years and never repeat a lesson. You know, you guys are clapping, but you don't know everything that went into all that. But it needed me as God had me in that season of my life. Yeah? We wrote devotionals for children that are so awesome and so powerful that when Miss Catherine and I look at them now, we look at them and they're like, they're as good today as they were when they were written 10 years ago. We wouldn't really change a word because they are still relevant. The stories are still relevant. The language is still awesome. God had us do that then. Because Victor came into my life, we started having our daughters. And then, you know, women, we have seasons. And we got into a season when I couldn't even put two sentences together. Because maybe I was sleepy all the time or distracted all the time or sometimes tired all the time. God knew my season. He knew the season I had the energy, the focus, the psych to be able to do the things that we did when we did them. And he set us up to where by the time I needed to step aside, not that I ever left the ministry or left coming to church every Sunday because I got married and had children, no. But I needed to step aside from active writing and developing of lessons. There was enough for us to go on for many years. Actually, for like 10 years. And now we've begun writing new ones again because people are grown. It's awesome, isn't it? That's our testimony. And I'm just saying this to say, don't be there thinking, why am I where I should be? Be here saying, God has me here for a reason. And I want to see, what can I do? How can I give? How can I bless? How can I minister? How can I grow? Be content with what you have, because it's in that you have that God has the seed of blessing for your life and the lives of other people. Amen? I'm telling you, young people in this room, there was a time in our seasons when we were doing everything. Doing everything. We were in the puppet team and going on outreach. Yeah? Me and Pastor Nelson's sister were the major puppeteers. We would remove the puppet out there and say, "Did you know?" It was like the funniest. And this is street evangelism out there. We were young. We had the time. We could do it. We were in the worship team, in children's ministry. There was a team there called Counselor's Team. I think it's for consolidation or something. But we were doing everything and not tired doing it. We were building friendships and community and allowing God to be there for us and to bless us in the way He wanted to bless us. Amen? So don't compare. Don't compare. My focus needed to be on what God had me doing, what God had given me. Amen? Don't waste your time and opportunity waiting for or going after what you cannot have when there is what you can do right there with what you have. Stop looking at who has more and start realizing what you have to give. Brothers and sisters, we can become so self-absorbed, but we need to look out and see more of what we can give. Amen? So Matthew chapter 6, verse 30 to 33 says this. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think He'll attend to you, take pride in you, do His best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way He works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how He works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Amen? Be at rest, because if you need it, God will provide it. So the last thing I want to share with you, the second way in which you build contentment is this. Be grateful or stay grateful. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Amen? Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, do what? Make your requests known to God. With thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Church, remember when Paul wrote this scripture? When he wrote these scriptures that I've just shared with you, he was in prison. The worst possible circumstances. Yeah? At the end of that chapter 4, he says, but I have received everything in full and more. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me. They are the fragrant aroma of an offering. Paul is not complaining about being jailed unjustly or his difficult circumstances. What Paul is doing is putting his mind on what was of value to him, saying, thank you. You sent me a gift. Thank you. He sees the good things and he stays grateful. You know what combats anxiety more than anything? Thanksgiving. Scientific evidence proves anxiety and thanksgiving cannot coexist in our brains at the same time. We have a picture to show you for that one. It says that where anxiety occupies the brain, is the same place gratitude occupies the brain. Isn't that amazing? Apparently, the same place where anxiety stays in your brain is the same place where thanksgiving stays. So if you want to evict anxiety, guess what you do? You give thanks. You stay grateful. Yeah? So interrupt your anxiety with gratitude. Interrupt your worry with thanksgiving. Say thank you. Today in Kids House, we are talking about gratefulness. And you know, one of the nuggets we learned is that gratefulness always has an object. You know, it's good to have the attitude of gratitude, but it's also good to let somebody know that you are grateful. That's what Paul did. Paul said to Epaphroditus that I am grateful for the gifts that have been brought to me. You know, you're thankful for something, let God know. Let your voices be lifted up in praise and in thanksgiving to God. You know, you are thankful because God used somebody to bless your life. Go to that person and say thank you to that person. Because that thankfulness is going to spread the joy, spread the life, spread that blessing of praises among you. Amen? It's going to affirm somebody. It's going to encourage somebody to be a blessing as well because you said thank you to them. So I want us to take a moment today. Maybe you came here a bit anxious about things, but you want to displace anxiety in your life and you want to evict worry and you want to spend some time just being grateful to God. Want us to take a few moments and really tune in. Tune into that place in your brain and just say, God, I thank you. I want you to go down the list of the things that you can be grateful for. Paul said, thank you for the gifts. But you have your own list. You know why you are grateful to God. There's a hymn that says, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So let's do that. Let's count our blessings. Let's name them one by one. Come on, open your mouth and just begin to thank God for that blessing. Maybe there's a blessing standing right next to you and you haven't taken a moment to say, thank you, Lord, for this person. Blessings in your home, blessings in your workplace, blessings everywhere you go. Gifts that God has brought your way. And our focus has been on what we don't have and what we can have and what others have. But Lord, we have this. We have each other. We have the house of God. We have family. We have children. We have homes. We have jobs. We prayed for miracles. And you made those miracles possible. You provided. You protected. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we are taking this moment right now to thank you. And church, I want to encourage you as well. When you leave here today, thank somebody. Just point yourself in the direction of someone that has been a blessing to life and follow Paul's example and say thank you to a person. Make somebody's day by being grateful to them. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.